We're celebrating Memorial Day this weekend. And I would like for us just to take a few minutes and remember those who have given their lives for our country. But not only that, there's many people even today who are giving their lives for the sake of Jesus Christ and for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so if you would, let's just stand for a moment. And I want you to lift up your prayers and for these individuals. Then after just a few moments, I will close us in prayer. Father, we are so grateful. Lord, our country is one of the best in the world. And it's because of people who've shed their blood and given their lives for our sake so that we can have the freedoms that we enjoy. And so, Lord, I just want to thank you for them. Lord, I thank you also for those who have gone before us in this Christian endeavor and given their lives so that we might have life. And so, Lord, I know that they have great reward in heaven according to your word. And so, Lord, there may come a time when some of us face those same troubles and torment and torture that they've gone through. So, Lord, I pray that you'd give us boldness and give us strength to face whatever trials and troubles may come with the character of Christ. And so, Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Let me get my little... We have been focusing on the truth for the last several weeks. We find in 2 Timothy 3:15 that the church is the foundation and the pillar of truth. And if the church doesn't hold to the truth, then there's no one that's going to. No one else has been held responsible or given the task of holding on to truth. We also discover that truth will set you free. Bill and Eileen are going to be talking a little later about individuals who have been captivated by sex addiction. And regardless of what addiction or what captivates you, the truth is the beginning of what sets you free. Unless you embrace the idea or the thought or the truth that you are in captivity, you will never be set free. And so we have to embrace truth. We also discovered that truth protects and preserves us. We live in a day and an age where truth is vital for our Christian life. Sometimes it's vital for our own survival, but it's also vital for the nation itself. That if we don't hold the truth, then our nation is going to fall. Have you ever tried to explain something to someone and knew they didn't hear you? And so we speak a little louder. Reminds me of a pastor friend of mine over in the Portland area. And he was trying to convey some information to another pastor who doesn't speak English. And I think he was a Vietnamese pastor, and this pastor was speaking to this Vietnamese pastor, and the guy was just like, didn't understand. And so this friend of mine got louder. Still didn't get it. Well, this friend of mine got louder still. See, and I was thinking, the problem is not a hearing problem. The problem is a language problem. And a lot of times we want to speak truth, and we want people to hear us, but determining on the way we say it will oftentimes determine whether they get it. And if you get louder, it's not going to help them to get it. Right? And you can even have your eyes bulging out, your face all contorted, blood vessels popping out on your head, and screaming at the top of your lungs. We're hoping that they get the message, but usually when we approach people in that manner, they don't hear it. They don't hear it. We're going to talk about today, love speaks and love wins. So I shared with you a few weeks ago, and I don't remember if I put this 2 Timothy 2:24 through 26. I don't remember if that's up there or not, or if I erased it. I didn't know if I was going to go there or not. But we talked about that passage of Scripture, and that passage of Scripture, a servant of the Lord must not argue, but be gentle to all, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, so that perhaps God will grant them repentance, come to the truth, and escape the snare of the devil that's taken him captive to do his will. Okay, and so here's what, let me just tell you a fault I ran into early in my ministry. I tried to be the Holy Spirit. See, I discovered that the Holy Spirit has his job, and I have my job. My job is to speak the truth in love. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict and convince. So, here's what I would do early in my ministry, and I would try to force people. I could see it. I knew they were making a wrong decision. I knew that if they went down this path, it was going to be catastrophic for them. And so, I would warn them, but then I would try to make them understand. I would get in their face and say, "You shouldn't do this." And you know what happened? They'd do it anyway. And it was catastrophic for them. Okay? And not only did I push them into making that decision, but they left the church as well. Okay? So I realized that I have a job to do. My job is to speak the truth in love. And it's the Holy Spirit's job to nag them. Right? Not my job to nag them. It's the Holy Spirit's job to nag them. And he does a whole lot better job than I do. And I've discovered that when I speak the truth in love and start praying, back off, that the Holy Spirit will then step in and do his job. But as long as I'm trying to do his job, he's not going to do his job. I'm glad I learned that lesson. Scripture says we should watch and pray. I kind of do it backwards. I pray and then watch. I pray and then watch what the Holy Spirit does. I pray and watch what the Holy Spirit does. Because he does it a whole lot better than I do. Every single time. So let me ask you, am I the only one who's tried to be the Holy Spirit? Can I see the hands of those who've been tried to be the Holy Spirit? Okay. Thank you. I'm glad I'm not the only one. So what's your job? Speak the truth in love. I didn't hear it. Say it again. Speak the truth in love. Then watch and pray. Or pray and watch. Okay? Pray and watch. See what the Holy Spirit does. He does a whole lot better job than you ever could. So Jesus told his disciples, I'm going to leave you with a new command. And the new command is to love. Now you've got all these other commands in the Old Testament. But Jesus said, I'm going to leave you a new command. And this new command is love. In John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus said, a new command I give you, love one another. Just as I've loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. So Jesus was saying, here's the standard by which I want you to live. You've been living by a lot of other standards. You've been living by Old Testament standards. You've been living by Jewish standards. You've been living by Pharisaical standards. But I want you to live by this standard. Love one another just like you've loved me. I'm sorry, just like I've loved you. So how much did Jesus love them? He gave his life for them. He gave his life for us. And so what Jesus said, that's kind of a how do you do that? How do you love one another just like Jesus loved you? There was a song written in 1966 that was very popular when I was a teen. The lyrics went like this. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. Do you remember that song? Okay. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity will one day be restored. And then the chorus, and they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. So how do they know we're Christians? By our love. Okay, a lot of people think, and don't get me wrong, I love worship. Okay? One of the things I enjoy about coming to Sunday church, Sunday service, is that we worship together. And our worship team does an awesome job, not an awful job, an awesome job. But a lot of times we think they will know we are Christians by our worship. Okay? Or, as a pastor, they will know I'm a Christian by my message. Well, that's not what Jesus said. Now, the message needs to be truth. There has to be truth. But it doesn't say they will know you are Christians by your worship or by your message. They will know you're Christians by your love. I want to ask you a question, and this is a question I'm asking myself. How many people know that you're Christians because of your love? Rena? Thomas? That's where we have to get to. That people know that we're Christians because of our love. Now, this takes a shift in thinking. It takes a shift in our thinking mentally. It takes a shift in our thinking in our heart in order for us to be Christian that God has called us to become, He's addressed these issues in our heart. And the thing that I have to ask myself is, what's keeping me from loving like Jesus? And if there are any obstacles, if there are any barriers that hinder me, then I have to get those out of my life. Do the people you work with know you're Christians by your love? Does your spouse know you are Christian because of your love? You're familiar with this passage, I'm sure, especially if you've been in a wedding. It's read practically every time there's a wedding, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I'm only a sounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but don't have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It's not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. So Scripture says, if I can sing like an angel, but I don't have love, it's worthless. It's worthless. If I can preach like Adrian Rogers, Billy Graham, if I can preach with grand flowing words and I never make a mistake, what good is it if I don't have love? That's what he's saying. I shared this with you some time ago. So I do some counseling via YouTube with a lady who lives in Vancouver, B.C. She's from Indonesia originally, and she has come to know Christ as her personal Lord and Savior, and she's trying to share Christ with her 90-year-old grandfather who lives in Indonesia. And I was trying to give her some words to help her share Christ. And so I tried to help her by saying, why don't you just tell him how much you love him and maybe get into the story of Jesus and how much he loves him as well. And she thought a minute and she said, you know, in the Indonesian language, we don't have a word for love. She said, we express that by actions. So they know we love them by the way we treat them. I thought, well, that's kind of scriptural. That's kind of scriptural. Because that's what this passage of Scripture is talking about. It's talking about actions, love in action. Love isn't so much a feeling as it is an action. So we're going to take a test. So the test, 7 expressions of love that we find here. Oh, there's more, but I didn't want to take up more time. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you grade yourself? Love is patient. On a scale of 1 to 10, how patient are you? Hey, this is God's word. That's not mine. Okay. So I'm just relaying the message. Don't shoot the messenger. So on a scale of 1 to 10, where do you rate yourself kind? On a scale of 1 to 10, not envious. On a scale of 1 to 10, not boastful. On a scale of 1 to 10, not proud. So how many of you are above like a 3 average right now? Okay, good. That's a good question. Jake is really good at words. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, okay. Boastful is outward. Pride is inward. Thank you, Briar. Yes. I really appreciate, I appreciate the give and take. Yes, Miss Pam. Okay, 10 means you're very good at being boastful. Or not, 10 means you're very good at not being boastful. Okay? You're not boastful. So if you're not boastful, it's a 10. Anyway, you know how to do it. I don't know how to. This is, whatever. Anyway. So if you want a really good grade, sometimes we don't grade ourselves correctly, you know. So ask your spouse. Are your children? So this morning, I knew I was going to do this, so I had to ask my wife, of course. I didn't want to. Honestly, I was afraid to ask her. Because I didn't want to come to this and give a message and be all deflated. Okay? She told me, out of these sevens, I made like 3 tens, 3 nines, and an 8. And I'm like, man, I'm improved. Yeah, I'm thinking, man, I'm better than I was last year. I didn't ask her about last year or the year before. But I am improving. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So here's the deal. Many of us, you know, there it says it's not self-seeking. And I thought that would probably be one of my lowest. You know, because I'm a pretty selfish dude, I think. But she didn't see that, so I'm glad that didn't portray. Okay? I think I have a pretty selfish heart oftentimes. But, and then I began thinking about Abraham and Isaac. You remember the story about Abraham Abraham and Lot and their... They were both shepherds. They had tons, hundreds, maybe thousands of sheep, and they couldn't be together because the herdsmen kept arguing with one another. And Abraham tells Lot, listen, Lot, and Abraham, God had already given Abraham all this land, okay? And Abraham says to Lot, listen, I don't want our herdsmen to be arguing with one another and fighting with one another. Tell you what, you decide which direction you want to go, and I'll go the other. You decide which is going to be best for you, and I'll leave and go the other way. Now, that's not like most folk, right? For most people, it's, you know what, I'm going to go get this, and you just find you someplace else. That wasn't Abraham. Abraham was not self-serving. Abraham was not self-seeking. It was like, I want you to have the better part. And then I'll take the leftovers. Isn't that amazing? That's an amazing character of an individual. And when you have love, that's the way it is portrayed. Not self-seeking, you are actually trying to benefit other people. So here's what I want to challenge you to do. Find the weak areas in your basket and start building these areas. Where you are not as loving as you ought to be, I want to encourage you to begin doing something that's going to increase that quotient in your life. Okay? Peter says, and beginning in chapter 1, 2 Peter 1, verse 5 through 11, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he has cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Now, I don't have time to unpack all of this. But here's the deal. When you grow up in Christ-like attitudes like Peter has laid out here, there are some marvelous things that come your way. One of the things that comes your way is that you're going to have a better knowledge, a closer relationship to Jesus Christ than you do right now. Okay? And I tell you, that's what I desire. That's what I hunger for, is a greater knowledge of Jesus Christ. Not about Him, but relating to Him. Do you want to know Jesus better? Grow up in these things. Do you want to not stumble in your Christian walk? Grow up in these things. Do you want a tremendous surprise party thrown for you when you get to heaven? Well, that won't be a surprise because you know about it. But what will be a surprise are the rewards and the accolades that come your way because you are mature in your relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't want to be an infant all my life. I want to grow up. And in order to grow up, I have to grow up in these things. And the last things he says is love. Okay? You don't have to put on all these other things before, but it's an increasing in all of them. It's more increase, more increase, more increase in these areas. Maybe next year I'll be an all 10. Probably not. Probably not. But in order for us to be what God would have us to be, in order for people out there, they will know we are Christians by our love. In order for them to see that, we're going to have to apply this to our life. In every area of our life. I woke yesterday morning, and the Lord was dealing with me regarding this area of my life. This is not what I had planned to preach this morning. And it had to do with leading in love. Because I look back and I've made some mistakes in my leading abilities. And I haven't always made the best leadership decisions because I factored in a lot of equations, but love wasn't one of those equations. And that should have been the first equation. So, I repented to the Lord. And when I'd made those kind of decisions, it hurt people. So I repented to the Lord, and I sent some emails out and asked people that I'd hurt, that I knew I hurt, to forgive me. And praise the Lord, they forgave me. Hallelujah. There's freedom in that. And I want you to know that I never, ever, ever want to hurt any of you. But if I do, I want you to come to me because I want to act in love. I do love you. I may not always treat you as such. My hope and desire is that I do so. Okay? So if I don't, I'm holding you responsible to tell me that. Okay? If you don't, I won't ever know it. Okay? And I'll just go on my merry little way and think everything's okay. And you'll pretend it's not. I mean, you'll pretend the same. But deep in your heart, there will be a scar that I've placed there, and that's not my desire. Okay? So you hold me accountable, because I want to grow up in love. I want to grow up in love. And if you don't address me, then I'm going to be short-sighted in this area. Okay? You okay with that? Will you do that?
Yeah.
All right. I'll do this for you too. But I've got a pretty thick skin, so I don't know when you've hurt me or not, honestly. I just kind of... I don't know. I just don't. I'm unoffendable. There's a book I have in my office. No, I don't. I've loaned it out again. But it's called Undefendable. It's an excellent book. But sometimes we wear our feelings on our shoulders and we get hurt when there's no need to do that. But I'm just letting you know that is my heart is not to hurt you. Okay? And so if I do, Ashley, you let me know. Okay? Briar, you let me know. Let me know. Let me know. Let me know. But here's the thing. You can't grow up in the Lord without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. If you look at the fruit of the Spirit, and you look at these things that Peter put on his page, a lot of them are the same things. But you can't do it without the power of the Holy Spirit, but you can't do it without practicing it either. Okay? And it's a practice. You have to practice it. And the next thing is, you can't do it without receiving Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Because He's the one who gives you the power, the want to, the desire. You will never want to live in a place of peace and love until you receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. He changes everything about you inside. Now, you may not be able to attain it the next day, but there's this desire, this want to in your heart that I'm going to grow up in the Lord. I'm going to grow up in love. I'm not going to stay an infant all my life. I'm going to grow up. May we have such love that they may see the love that we have for one another and know we are Christians by our love. So I challenge you, grow in love. Grow in love. Father, I come before you today, and I thank you for your word to me. I thank you for your word to this congregation. I thank you, Lord, that, God, there are areas I can see that we need to grow in love. And so, Lord, I am asking you that we put aside frivolous things and we grow in love for one another. Lord, we want to honor you with our life. We want to get to know you better. We don't want to stumble in our relationship with you. And Lord, we want to look at that party when we get to heaven. See all the wonderful things you have for us. Because we were diligent to grow up. We thank you and we praise you and we honor you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. We're going to have our worship team come forward.